It is now time for Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. On the show today, we're going to talk to Reggie Brayon, who is one of the producers of Drumline Live, which is a live stage show that took off from the film from 2002 called Drumline, and it's using the style, marching band style, of historically black colleges and universities. In fact, it uses a great many students from those universities or alums from there. And Drumline Live is going to be at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. Our other segment today, as it happens, also is a couple of performances happening in Springfield of the Nutcracker All Jazzed Up with DCDS in Motion, Dance Creations Dance Studio in Springfield. It's going to be at the Hoagland Center for the Arts Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon. And we'll talk with Janet Kripe, who is the artistic director of Dance Creations Dance Studio. Stay tuned for Live and Local. Guest on this portion of Live and Local. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Janet Kripe, who is the director, owner, artistic director of Dance Creations Dance Studio based in Springfield. And they're program called DCDS in Motion is presenting the Nutcracker All Jazzed Up at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. Performances are a Saturday evening at 7 o'clock and a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. And proceeds benefiting the American Red Cross and the Illinois, specifically the Illinois Capital Area Chapter. And Janet's on the phone with me now in Springfield with a little roughness in her voice, but she's here. Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
So tell me about, because I'm going to assume that most of our radio listeners may not know, what is Dance Creations Dance Studio and how long you've been around?
Oh, we're located in Springfield, Illinois, and we are celebrating our 20th season this year. And this year, a recently established children's performance company, DCDS in Motion, will once again be presenting the Nutcracker All Jazzed Up this coming weekend. It'll be our second performance, and all the proceeds will be going to the Capital Area Chapter of the Red Cross.
So when you say it's your second performance, meaning second performance of DCDS in Motion, or second
Yes.
time around with the Nutcracker Jazzy?
Yes,
stuff.
Actually, the DCDS in Motion is a company which was established a couple years ago, and basically the mission of DCDS in Motion is to create an environment for the children to expand their talents while enjoying performance-type activities. And basically, we want the kids to use their talent to benefit others. And we believe that these are priceless lessons that the kids will receive by participating in these types of things.
So Dance Creations Dance Studio is essentially a teaching
yes.
Institution, so to speak.
Right.
And so do the kids in that studio have any other opportunities to perform publicly, or is this the main one?
Actually, we also perform locally. We do an annual production mid-June, which anyone's welcome to come, Sangamon Auditorium. This year, our celebration is scheduled for June the 11th. It's at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield, Illinois. And we also have over 50 members on our competition team, and we actually do compete. However, we're trying to instill in these kids that it's not about the trophy, it's really about the journey. And, you know, over the years we've done very well in the competition circuit and decided that we'd like to try to teach the kids a little bit about giving back. So now they're dancing for a cause rather than for applause.
That's a nice expression. And what's your own background that led you to what you're doing now?
Well, as a small child, I began dancing at the Bettina Sansoni School of Dance here in Springfield, Illinois, and continued dancing throughout my life. I was basically trained by Bettina Sansoni, as well as many other well-known teachers, choreographers, and basically learned all the aspects of dance studio management, and started 20 years ago this studio called Dance Creations Dance Studio, and I continue my education every year.
So it sounds like teaching dance was a focus early on. You decided you wanted to do that rather than try to dance professionally, or did you do some professional dance as well?
No, I didn't do professional dance. However, we have a strong early childhood program, which has grown into, you know, we have dancers currently in New York performing professionally. Several students are currently in colleges throughout the United States pursuing a dance career. I love to teach. However, I really love to create pieces and choreography. So that's really a love of mine.
What is the age range of students in the studio?
In the studio, we have students ranging from 18 months through, probably 35 to 40 years old.
What does somebody...
So we have some adults as well, so...
What does somebody who is 18 months old do?
A class considered Move and Groove, and it's a type of class in which a parent actually participates with the child.
Does the parent end up doing more dancing than the 18-month-old, or what?
Well, sometimes it just really depends. But, you know, I try to incorporate things that, you know, are fun for an 18-month-old to do. You know, we kind of want them to be walking at least, you know. So there's a lot of creative movement and activities involved in that type of class.
So how many of kids who are that age or thereabouts end up sticking with it for a while? Do you think that that's getting somebody started that early, they get particularly ingrained with dance?
I started doing this Move and Groove class probably about 5 years ago, and I want to say that almost all of the kids that started are still continuing to dance. So, of course, some kids get, you know, want to try other things, and I support that totally, you know. But our door's always open for those that want to come back and enjoy dance classes.
What's the range of dance that you cover in the studio? Types of dance?
Ballet, classical ballet, point, jazz, tap, hip-hop. We do gymnastics.
And then...
As well as lyrical, and contemporary is becoming more and more popular.
Contemporary meaning what?
It's more of a modern type of dance.
Where did you get the idea to do this Nutcracker all jazzed up thing?
Well, I actually have twin 10-year-olds. And when my daughter became about 4 years old, I took her to our area's Nutcracker. And honestly, she just really, it was kind of, the music was slow. And, you know, I had my son with me. He fell asleep. And she just, it just didn't keep her attention, you know. And I thought, you know, it might be kind of neat to have some more jazzed up music. Of course, it took me about 5 more years to develop something like this, but it's very, very fun, and the music's very upbeat, and it begins with, of course, your classic party scene. However, There's a lot of hip-hop and jazz involved in the opening party scene, as well as about 20 boys who add a lot of fun to the show. And as the Nutcracker continues and Clara falls asleep, some very unlikely characters show up in her dream.
Unlikely meaning not necessarily the ones in the traditional Nutcracker story?
Yes, correct.
And we're not going to give those away, I'm guessing.
No. No, but it's very, very neat section of the show, and I encourage people to come out and check it out. It's, you know, it'll leave them kind of singing two musicals.
Well, here's a little sample of some of the music that shows up in this Nutcracker All Jazzed Up with DCDS in Motion. Which portion of the show does this music appear?
This is actually the opening scene.
Okay, so we'll have a sampling of this. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was some music that is being used in the Nutcracker All Jazzed Up. It's a production of DCDS in Motion, which in turn is a program of Dance Creations Dance Studio in Springfield. And the performances are tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. My guest is Janet Kripe, who is artistic director and owner of Dance Creations Dance Studio. Can you give us a little bit of an idea of some of the other types of music that are used in here without giving too much away?
Well, after the Claire's dream continues, there's actually a very, very large army of rats that show up, and they actually will be tapping. And although it can be somewhat scary at times, again, a very unlikely figure appears. And there's also some kung fu in that army of rat scene when the Nutcracker tries to save Clara. So, and also the gifts that are presented to Clara after the snow scene, which is also a very wonderful part of the show. It's a very contemporary aerobic type routine with lots of turns and jumps and wonderful skill.
So what is the, where did you find the music for this?
Actually, I found the music kind of by both searching, you know, music places, and some of the music we've actually mixed ourselves, you know, so.
So you managed to get the Tchaikovsky tunes somehow integrated in these other styles and sometimes other specific pieces of music.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun for people to discover. And and what's the range of age range of people involved in this specific production?
Well, basically between the ages of 5 and, I want to say 50.
Oh, wow.
We've actually got some adults that are participating. In fact, there's one character that is the lead singer for an area band that plays, and actually you might know the Dirty Ernies.
I don't, but then
the
I don't, but I'm sure other listeners
do. There's a
guy
in that band that's in the performance, as well as a doctor.
And are these folks making cameos as some of these unmentioned characters?
Mm-hmm. And actually one of them actually performs a little section in the performance, and he actually is assisted by about 50 performers.
So you got how many people involved in the whole show?
There is over 100 performers in the show.
Wow, that's great. Well, it sounds
most of them are basically kids, you know. So
the adults are sort of filling things out and milling about and making cameo appearances and so on. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. It's a Nutcracker All's Jazzed Up Saturday and Sunday at the Hoagland Center for the Arts on South 6th Street or 7th Street? I'm forgetting.
It's actually 6th Street.
6th Street in Springfield. Mm-hmm. And Janet Kripe is Artistic Director for DCDS in Motion. Actually, she's the director of this show put on by DCDS in Motion, which is a program of her Dance Creations Dance Studio. If somebody wants to get tickets, how do they go about it?
You can actually go to the website of the Hoagland Center, www.hcfta.org, Hoagland Center for the Arts. And if you click on events and tickets and scroll down just a tiny bit, you'll see the Nutcracker Jazzed Up. You can purchase tickets online. You can also purchase tickets by calling the Hoagland Center for the Arts, and the number is 217-523-4895.
And if you want more information on Dance Creations Dance Studio, you can go to dancecreationsdancestudio.com, logically enough.
Yeah. Yes.
Janet, thank you very much for joining us on Live and Local.
You're welcome.
We heard the Empire Brass take on music from Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker, The Arabian Dance, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible with support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods, featuring foods from around the world, including imported chocolates, cookies, cheeses, and gift baskets for the holidays. Also, fine specialty ingredients like saffron, smoked paprika, truffle salt, grain of paradise, and more. World Harvest Foods at the intersection of 6th and University in Champaign. Our next segment on Live and Local is about Drumline Live, which is a production that is going to be at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield this Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. And I'll be talking with Reggie Brayon, who is the tour manager and also one of the producers for that show. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Reggie Brayon. He is the tour manager for a show called Drumline Live! Which is currently on something of a Midwest tour. They're going to be coming to Springfield Sunday evening at 7 o'clock at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois at Springfield. And pleased to have him on the show with us. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. And I am also not only the tour manager, but I'm one of the producers of this show. So I have a lot of involvement outside of just running the tour.
So you're the guy to talk to then, obviously.
Well, I hope I can give you some insight and some definitely some background on this project. And we have been touring the Midwest, but we also started in California. So we've been across the country this year and actually did Japan for 3 weeks. So it's been an international tour.
Well, I looked at that tour schedule, and you really are all over the place for a very long period of time. Are all of the performers current college students?
No, well, not all of them. We have some that are upperclassmen, juniors, seniors, and we have some graduates. We have some actually that have master's degrees. So we have a combination of both undergrad, currently in undergrad, graduates, and postgraduate degrees as a part of the cast.
I was just kind of curious, if you were dragging them all out of school for all that period of time, they'd probably be having the time of their lives. Well, they probably are anyway.
Well, we don't encourage it necessarily. we want them to continue their education. This is an opportunity that we feel is once in a lifetime, that you get a chance to go to Japan and tour across the United States with over 50 cities. You know, it is an opportunity of a lifetime, doing what you enjoy doing, and that's performing and playing your instrument. So it is an opportunity, but we don't encourage them to leave school.
Yeah.
Some do, just for some, in some cases, financial reasons, they decide, and others just to get the opportunity.
Sure. Well, it would be hard to pass up, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is.
Give us some background on the whole project. It sort of got started with the film of that name, right?
Yes. As I mentioned, I'm one of the producers along with a couple of other guys, one being Don Roberts and Demetrius Hubert. Both of them, Don Roberts did all the band teachers you see on the show with the drills and design and music, and all those pieces were done by Don Roberts, and he was a consultant on the movie Drumline. And Demetrius Hubert was the percussion instructor who did all of the percussion pieces, all of the cadences, choreography, and everything that you saw Nick Cannon do, he actually taught him for a couple of months and worked with Nick Cannon on that. And those were two of the other producers of this project. And the movie, after the success of the movie, we felt, you know, it would be really interesting. And, you know, we saw a show called Blast, which was a tour with a band on stage, and it was a DCI, Drum Corps International, type of style. And after the success of the movie, we felt that, you know, this is something that we think that it would be really entertaining for people to see more than just what they saw in the movie. We felt the movie just touched just the tip of the iceberg of all of the facets of the marching band and all the music and all of the energy that you would actually see at a HBCU, which is Historically Black College and University, football game. So we wanted to put that on stage and give it live and make it live and intimate for an audience. And that's where the concept came from.
When I was in marching band in high school and would go to various competitions, usually parades, we didn't do a lot of football show competitions. It would always be kind of amazing to me to see some of the bands that were from black schools. And, you know, here we were just sort of virtually walking along in our marching. And then inevitably these guys would be strutting and swinging back and forth. And one of the things that always amazed me the most was, how can you play and do that at the same time? So this is a burning question I've had since my childhood, so I'm hoping you can answer it for me.
and that burning question is one that is, it gives us the greatest challenge that we have in finding talent, is because we have to have people that can play the instrument very well. And that's one facet, and we know there are not a lot of people that can play the instrument very well. That's the skill in itself. Now you combine that with, okay, I want you to play, I want you to march. Okay, playing and marching, okay, that's one. Now I want you to dance while you're playing, marching, and let's try dancing while you're playing, and do all of those well. And that is difficult, very difficult. And that's why, you know, it was really challenging for us to find people that they can do that. And we have 37 that are on stage doing that. And a lot of those people actually play multiple instruments. So we have a very talented group, and like you said, it is extremely challenging. I would love for anyone that plays an instrument to try to just like you said, try to do a 8-step count dance while you're playing. And I'm not just saying just a playing one note, you know, just holding a note. I mean, playing multiple notes at the same time. It is very challenging.
Yeah, with a lot of virtuosity. Yep. Give us a little bit of background on this particular style of marching band work.
Yeah, the style is the core of the historically black colleges and universities. So you'll see more of a high knee lift, we call it point and drive marching style that you'll see on stage along with the choreography that goes along with it. And again, a lot of energy. It's the show from beginning to end is a show that gets you involved being the audience because we want you to have fun. So we take you to what we feel is the atmosphere of a football game, from the playing in the stands and the choreography that goes along with playing in the stands, because in an HBCU game, you just don't play music. That's kind of like, okay, that's easy. We got to play and we got to move at the same time. So we do that piece, and that style is there. So you see the things that are going on in the stands. You see things that are going on doing a halftime show and marching. So all of those pieces are shown throughout the show. And the show is a combination of a lot of genres of music, too. So it takes you on what we call a musical journey throughout various phases, from big band to gospel. In the middle, you have R&B and hip hop and everything that's being played in the show.
But of course, it's all acoustic, you know, with marching band instruments. This is not a rock show. You know.
No, it's all marching, and that's one of the things I was watching the show the other day, and it kind of hit me and said, "Boy, it's not a lot of live instruments being played in a lot of shows now. Even touring shows, you know, everything is." A lot of cases tracked and pre-recorded. Everything we do is live. We do have vocals and live vocals. So everything you see that we do, with the exception of a couple of cases of we have some sound effects and we have some things that we're doing with some tracks on a couple of pieces, but that's not where the live band is there. But the band is playing and it's live throughout the show for 2 hours.
So how did this style of marching get developed way back, what, in the 60s, I guess?
No, it was prior to that. It really started back in the 40s. And the style actually is a derivative of a lot of the Big Ten marching styles. A lot of the band directors, not a lot, but a couple of band directors saw that style. One actually, Dr. Foster, who was at Florida A&M for over 40 years, 40, 50 years plus as the band director there, attended the University of Illinois.
Oh, really?
And yes, and got his doctorate there. And so he saw a lot of the Big Ten styles and developed this style of point and drive marching. And, you know, it's just kind of a different take on what you'll see at Wisconsin, what you'll see at Michigan. You'll see a little bit of it at Ohio State, where it's a knee lift, but it's a little different, that derivation of it. But it actually originated from those.
And how did the talk a little bit about, maybe more specifically, about how the various African-American traditions of music and other cultural elements took that style and evolved it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. I think culturally, just in nature, things we do are a little more rhythmic than the structure. So it took that style of marching, added a lot more rhythmic cadences every march, which made it more of, and you mentioned a term a few minutes ago, you said strut. It's somewhat of a strut, somewhat of a march, somewhat of a dance. Because it has to have all of those rhythms and those things in it when you typically see HBCU band marching. It doesn't just look like it's very regimented. You'll see a flow with the step, a movement and a groove as you see it. So it adds that rhythmic, smooth nature or dance nature that is somewhat cultural. There is added to that style to make it more flashy, more flamboyant, more entertaining in some cases than the typical style that you may have seen originally from Ohio State or Michigan or Wisconsin.
Or you mentioned Drum Corps International. That
yes.
Style is very regimented or looks
very much so.
But this is also probably regimented to a degree. I mean, everybody does. It is choreographed. It just doesn't look that way sometimes.
it is very regimented, and it's very. It has a distinct way of doing. There's not. You just don't go out there and do it. There is, you know, there's a proper way, and you have to be taught the proper way to do it. The DCI form, and again, we love DCI, and we everything is entertaining to us in the music realm and in the marching band realm. It's just a different styles, and we respect and love DCI quite a bit. As I mentioned, Blast was kind of our inspiration to do this show. It's the style is again, it's not something that you haphazardly go out and do. You have to be taught the proper way to do it, and there's a proper look that's wrong and right. Just like you said, DCI, there's a proper way to do the heel roll and toe roll, you know, and roll heel to toe rotation. There's a proper way to do it. And you, when you see it, you know when it's right, and you can tell when it's wrong. if we were on TV, I could show you real quick.
Yeah.
If I try to do it, that's not how it's done. So, yes, it is distinct in a proper way. And it is regimented too. It's just the style itself makes it a little more flowing.
Well, and people can get a bit of an idea of this if they go to your website or to the website of your Columbia Artists, where they have a page on Drumline Live.
They can go to drumlinelive.com or cami.com to get a feel for it. But the only way you can really get a feel for it is to be at the show.
Yeah.
That's when you'll really get to see and feel the energy, because it's the energy, too, that goes along with this and the show. Because we do not only, you know, just marching band. We take the band, the marching band, and we put them in different scenarios. And that's not untypical of what you'll see at a halftime. Most halftimes are thematic in nature. So what we do is we take these themes and we just embellish them for theater with costumes and lights, and then we can put you kind of into that theme that we want you to be in at that particular time. When we do our gospel scene, we have the band in gospel robes, and you know, so it gives you that appearance of being in a gospel church environment. So that's what we do with the band, is put the band in the various theatrical, thematic scenes throughout the show.
So they don't just wear their marching band uniforms, they put on their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, as it says in your program.
we have, I'm laughing because one of our biggest challenges is our huge wardrobe that we have to manage during the tour, because we have several costume changes throughout the show. So, no, you just don't see a marching band uniform. You see the band in various wardrobes and various types of themes throughout the show.
We're talking with Reggie Brayon here on Live and Local. He is the producer, one of the producers, and the tour manager for Drumline Live, which is going to be at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield this Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. know, this conversation, the differences between drum corps style and this drumline style, the historically black style, sort of reminds me of that stereotypical phrase, you know, white men can't dance. And you know, I'm interested in this term, you know, that has come down to us for a long time now, historically black colleges and universities. How are most of those colleges and universities exclusively black, and is Drumline Live exclusively black cast, or is it mostly so, or what?
Well, the schools historically were black, of course.
Right.
Now that has changed quite a bit. So, yeah, it's a diverse, and the schools have a diverse student body now, and that has changed over the years. So that has changed. The currently on our cast is not 100% African American. We do have some diversity. We do have some Dominicans. We have from the Dominican Republic. We actually have some Jamaicans on there. So it's not strictly just you African American in nature, but our cast is a little diverse from that perspective. But primarily it is probably a 90% African American cast on there. And there are several non-African Americans that are marching in historically black college and university marching bands now. We've seen several that's from Florida A&M, Morris Brown, North Carolina Central has a Caucasian white American as a drum major. Mm-hmm. So it's not uncommon now. At all.
I noticed that most, the largest representation in your cast is from Florida A&M. Talk about that particular school and how it figures into this whole movement.
Well, that's one of the things that I dig in on my partners in this, because they both went to Florida A&M. So does that sound like they're partial?
And I'm guessing you didn't?
I did not. I actually went to Memphis State University, so I didn't attend a historical black college and university, although Tennessee State was the one in Tennessee at the time. It was very popular, and I was always at their games, but I never did attend it. So I think it has a lot to do with again, the loyalty, I guess, to their alumni and being at Florida A&M, but also the school has a very rich tradition in the marching band, and it's always been known as one of the best HBCU marching bands in the country. They've always been known as one of the top two or three, if not always the top. So they have an outstanding program, and they have a lot of great musicians. So there's a tendency, I guess, for us to, just like, you know, as any football team, NFL, you know, you kind of have a tendency to go where you know the talent is, and that's one of the reasons why we have quite a few there from Florida A&M.
I can almost hear you're biting your tongue through this whole thing. Wanting to...
No, I kid him on that. I already rib him on it, but it has served us very well in terms of talent, because we have some tremendous talents from there.
What are some of the other particularly strong marching band programs that are represented here?
We have in our cast, we have Norfolk State out of Norfolk, Virginia. We have North Carolina Central, which is out of Durham, North Carolina. We have Clark, Atlanta University. Guess where they're from? out of Atlanta. And we also have Prairie View A&M out of Prairie View, Texas. We also have University of Arkansas, Pine Bluff. Out of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, represented in our cast. And I think I may be trying to see if I'm missing one. But I think, yeah, that's primarily in full course Florida A&M. It's represented there as a part of our cast.
The show is called, of course, Drumline Live, but there are lots of wind instruments in there. What is talk a little bit about the role of the drumline specifically in the midst of this show.
The drumline, in just as in the movie, I mean, the drumline is a section in a band, just as any other trumpet and saxophones or any other section. And of course, the drumline is responsible for the rhythm and the heartbeat of the band. And that's how we kind of portray it. We do, of course, feature the drumline throughout the show. We have some special, very unique features that you can only do in theater that gives you an opportunity to see some very unique things that a drumline can only do in theater. It gives them an opportunity to show some of their skills that you can only see again there that would be difficult on a football field.
Is that like some pretty fancy stick work and things?
Exactly. A lot of the stick work and some of the things that you just cannot see, that these guys do some amazing things with sticks, amazing things. And we get a chance to highlight that in the theater that we couldn't do. But we focus and we have several features throughout the show of the drumline itself. So we feature them. And they're the only section that's necessarily featured in the show. Obviously, we call it Drumline Live.
Yeah.
But the one thing we you know we're trying to impart on everyone is that it is a full marching band. It's just not the drumline. Because as much as we love the drumline, and we do love them dearly, 2 hours of drums can be interesting.
Or
it's a challenge to make interesting. Yeah. Let me say that for 2 hours. It's like, come on, guys. Of course, they think that's the only thing there is drums, and that's the nature of percussionists. They think that that's all that anybody should hear.
Well, there really can be something just incredibly visceral of the sound of a full drum marching drum line.
Right.
Yeah, the energy that sort of grabs you from the insides. And
we do that. And we do, again, we have that full marching band, full drum line that we show, and then we show sections of it. And we have some real special and even some interaction with the crowd with our drums, where we get out and have them play with us.
And
so
you've got
we do some really nice things with the crowd.
And you got a drum battle in the second act.
Yes, we do. And that's where you see a lot of the tricks and things that I know if I were a percussionist, the first thing I would do is go home and try it myself and try to figure it out. So there's some things that we show in that drum battle that really make you go a lot of oohs and ahs from the crowd at that time. So you get to see some very unique things there.
Well, a lot of just quoting from the titles of the sections here, funky footwork, swinging, midnight magic, gospel, American soul, all wrapped up into this show called Drumline Live. It's going to be at Sangamon Auditorium at the University of Illinois Springfield, Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. And you can go for more information to uis.edu/Sangamon Auditorium. And my guest here on Live and Local is one of the producers of the show and also the tour manager, Reggie Brayon. And I really appreciate your taking the time to be with us on Live and Local.
Well, thank you so much for having us, and we're excited about coming to Springfield, and we look to have a lot of fun and can't wait to bring the show there.
And here is a clip from Drumline Live. Go out and hear them in Springfield on Sunday. Well, as a matter of fact, I aired that clip in the middle of our interview, which I pre-recorded yesterday. So we've already heard that. So instead, we're going to hear a little bit that I found on a website some time ago of Drum Corps International. Reggie Brayon made reference to that as sort of the other style of marching band performance. And this is from 1980, a live performance, a little snippet of it here, of the 1st Canadian Regiment at a show in West Bend, Wisconsin, live on the football field here on Live and Local. Thank you. 1st Canadian Regiment from a show in Wisconsin in 1980 here on Live and Local. Here are some shows you can go out and see and hear live in our listening area. The Red Mask Players in Danville are presenting Inherit the Wind at the Catherine Randolph Theater tonight at 8 o'clock, also tomorrow at 8 o'clock. The Jeff Helgeson Quintet plays jazz at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana this evening at 5 o'clock. Champaign Park District Youth Theater presents The Music Man Jr. tonight and tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And I think there's a matinee tomorrow as well. There's a family music show at the American Legion in Mattoon this evening at 7. The Frank T. Quartet plays jazz in Springfield at Marley's Pub. That's at 6 o'clock tonight, also in Springfield, some blues from Dan Rivero, Dave Lumsden, and Wayne Carter at Southside Pub at 8 o'clock this evening. And in Springfield, blues, country, and comedy with Hipbone Sam and friends at the Curve Inn, 8 o'clock tonight. Andy, not sure how to say his name, Morellon at the Fat City Bar and Grill plays acoustic covers tonight at 5 o'clock. That's in Champaign. Tomorrow evening at First Mennonite Church in Urbana, it's the Arcadia Chamber Players giving their fall concert at 7 o'clock. It's Suds, the 60s musical soap opera in Decatur at the Decatur Civic Center tomorrow evening at 7:30. In Shelbyville, there is the Illinois Old Time Fiddlers Jam Session. That's at the Lions Community Building, 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon in Shelbyville. And the Music of Django Reinhardt is at the Iron Post in Urbana Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. Maria and Company play at Luna in downtown Champaign Sunday at noon. Strings and accordion is their instrumentation. The Duke of Uke and his Novelty Orchestra are at the Urbana Free Library Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And we've already mentioned, of course, Drumline Live. That's 7 o'clock Sunday night at Sangamon Auditorium in Springfield. And the other focus of today's interview, the Nutcracker All Jazzed Up, Saturday at 7 and Sunday at, was it 1 or 2 o'clock at the Hoagland Center for the Arts in Springfield. It's going to be mostly sunny today, high around 52 degrees. We're almost there now at 50. And tonight, partly cloudy, the low near 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high around 55. Saturday, partly sunny with a high around 62 degrees. Our programs today on FM 90.9 are supported in part by Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. This Saturday's wine tasting from noon to 4 features a selection of 13 wines to pair up with a traditional or not-so-traditional Thanksgiving meal. Details are at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville.